This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 10th, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next item on the agenda, we have the Draft Advisory Opinion 2010-8 of Citizens United. Vice Chair, I understand we have a late submitted document.
Mr. Chairman, I move we suspend the rules regarding the timely submission of documents so that we may consider Agenda Document 1034.
All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0. We have with us today Michael Booz, who will be joining us on behalf of Citizens United to answer any questions that the Commission may have during its consideration of his advisory opinion request. And good morning to you, and please take a seat at the witness table.
Thank you.
We have a presentation by Peter Reynolds from the Office of General Counsel. And when you are ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda Document 10-34 responds to a request for an advisory opinion filed on behalf of Citizens United concerning whether its filmmaking activities constitute expenditures and electioneering communications under the Federal Election Campaign Act and Commission regulations. Draft A concludes that the costs of producing and distributing Citizens United's films, in addition to related marketing activities, are covered by the media exemption from the Act's definitions of expenditure and electioneering communication. In light of this conclusion, Draft A does not require discussion of whether Citizens United's filmmaking activities constitute bona fide commercial activity. Draft B concludes that the media exemption applies to Citizens United's filmmaking activities to the extent the films are distributed through broadcast, cable, or satellite television, but not to DVD distribution or theatrical release of the films. Draft B also concludes that Citizens United's filmmaking activities do not constitute bona fide commercial activity. The Commission received two comments on the drafts. We will be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Any questions or comments? Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any questions for the requester, but thank you for your appearance today. The circumstances before us today are quite different than those presented by the requester in 2004, when it had produced two documentaries since its founding in 1988. As of today, Citizens United has just produced and distributed 14 documentaries, recently completed production on a couple of more, and has other films in production. Citizens United tells us it spends a substantial portion of its annual budget, $3.4 million in 2009, on documentary production and distribution. And another factor that I think is important is in 2004, the Commission identified the fact that Citizens United proposed to pay broadcasters to air its documentaries as a consideration of form weighing against finding that the film qualified for the media exemption. And by contrast, according to this request, Citizens United will not be paying a fee to the broadcast company to air its documentaries, but rather will receive royalties, commissions, or other fees from the broadcasters. And so although I was not here when Citizens United filed its request in 2004, in my view, the circumstances presented here today differ substantially and significantly from those presented in that AO that led to a different result than the ones found in the drafts before us today. We have received two comments on these drafts, and one takes particular issue with the press entity analysis in both drafts. I want to address that for a moment because I think it's a threshold issue that is worth discussion. It's not as simple as it might appear at first to determine whether an entity is acting as a press entity. It is not. It is a term of art in our body of law, and it has been impacted by changes in technology. At one point in time, when only broadcast television, print newspaper, and radio existed, the line might have been easier to draw. We all used to know that ABC News, for example, was a press entity. Today, however, technology has changed nearly everything about the media. You no longer need to have a movie studio or be a media conglomerate to produce a news story. Anyone with a digital video camera and access to the internet via wireless or some connection can create and disseminate a news story. And the Commission's recent AOs have reflected this changing environment. For example, just a few years ago in Malothe, an internet company wanted to start creating and disseminating news programming, and we determined it was a media entity for the purposes of that activity. and a couple of years before that in Fired Up, an advocacy organization whose mission was to keep Missourians informed and united in the fight for responsible government, strong communities, and secure families, was found to be a media entity to create a network of websites. And that was before the internet rulemaking, which of course then later exempted the activity on the internet. And while it's true that about 20 years ago in Maine Right to Life, the commission found that an organization that published newsletters as part of its operations was not a media entity, in part because it was not engaged in the news media business, those facts are very different from those presented in the request before us today. I think it's difficult to conclude that an entity that has produced or has in production over 14 documentaries in the past 6 years, spent $3.4 million on those activities in the last year alone, and distributes those documentaries via DVD, theaters, and television under the financial arrangements found here is not engaged in the news media business with respect to the activities surrounding those documentaries. Whether the entity is also engaged in advocacy on a particular topic, as was in Fired Up, or running an internet company, as in Malothe, that does not preclude that conclusion. I think it's also important to note that the conclusion that CU is a media entity for purposes of its documentaries does not mean its other activities are exempt. Indeed, CU has not asked us that question. The request simply asks whether the costs associated with producing and distributing the documentaries and related marketing costs are covered by the exemption, and that is the only question that is answered by the drafts. The next question raised by the SAO, and is the only difference between the two drafts, is whether the distribution mechanisms it proposes are captured by the exemption. Although the statutory language speaks of distribution through the facilities of any broadcasting station, newspaper, magazine, or other periodical publication, the Commission has taken a broad view of this aspect of the exemption. The Commission has read the exemption to cover cable and satellite radio, and notably, the internet. Accordingly, I find it difficult to conclude that a documentary produced and aired on television would qualify for the exemption, while the same documentary shown at a theater or distributed via DVD would not. For these reasons, I support a finding that the media exemption applies to the activities related to the production and distribution of the documentaries. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I would just add myself that I agree with the Vice Chair. I too support Draft A, and just would add that the Commission isn't breaking any new ground with this advisory opinion. Draft A follows in the footsteps of a number of decisions that the Commission has made in recent years, both in the rulemaking and in the advisory opinion context, where the Commission has applied the press exemption to news stories, commentaries, and editorials, no matter in what medium they are published. So with respect to the documentaries at issue, those that have been produced by Citizens United, we're not looking so much at the medium through which they're distributed, but rather whether they fit into the category news stories, commentary, and editorials, and clearly these documentaries do. I agree with the Vice Chair that it's worth noting that Citizens United will be receiving compensation for its documentaries through licensing arrangements and other agreements that result in royalties and commissions and percentages of the box office were relevant. So in sum, I see Draft A as consistent and perfectly in line with past commission actions with respect to the question of how to apply the press exemption, and for that reason I too will be supporting Draft A. Commissioner Walther.
Will there be any questions? If not, then I just make my position. I'm not going to support Draft A. And I do so with some reluctance because Citizens United came before us back in 2004, I think it was, and we explained reasons why it wasn't able to get a press exemption then, and has done a lot to fulfill and really eliminate some of the issues and obstacles that existed at the time. And again, I wasn't on the commission at the time either. But since Citizens United has come down, I think the theory, the underpinnings behind the press exemption have shifted to some degree, and I want to take a look at those going forward. In this particular case, I asked for draft B to be placed on the public for view and for comment, because I thought that might be a compromise that could work in the case of Citizens United, because of the fact that in many respects Citizens United has done what we have suggested was not able to qualify it for a press exemption before. But I think if you look at Citizens United now, you now have, by virtue of the Supreme Court opinion, 90% of what was requested back then, because there's an unlimited amount to speak, which didn't exist if the press exemption wasn't given before. When the Citizens United came down, now some of the underpinnings behind the press exemption changed, because really the press exemption now, what it does, if it's granted, doesn't affect the ability of people or entities to speak. It really, the implication or the consequence is whether or not some of that speech has to be recorded, and whether filings have to be made in connection with certain aspects of speech and how the funds are being used. So I think while I have in the past supported a broader interpretation of the media exemption in a number of cases, I'm reluctant to continue to expand that without more thought being given to where we are now in the post-CU world. I'm hoping that when we get to doing our regulations to kind of deal with the impact of a CU, we can take this issue up. I had a brief statement that really parallels everything I've said here today, so I'll make that a part of the record, but I wanted to give briefly my thoughts on the situation.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate my colleague's concern about the fact that we now are applying an exemption that existed to a prohibition which no longer exists. I agree that there's some tension there, and that creates a particular challenge in this particular case. But as the chair said, I think this result follows along the line we've been, and I think until we make some changes, perhaps in the way that you propose, or Congress deals with this, the exemption, which now sort of hangs in its own space without a prohibition, it seems to me that this is the appropriate result for this requester at this point in time. But I appreciate the concern that we are dealing with an exemption that no longer applies to a prohibition, which is a little bit unusual. But for me, at least, that's a question for a different day.
Any further questions or comments? If not, do we have a motion? Commissioner McGann.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Commission adopt Draft A of Draft Advisory Opinion 2010-08.
Any discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
The motion passes 5-0 with Commissioners Ming 4-1. Excuse me. Didn't mean to rope you in there, Steve. I want to.
That's the power of the chair.
That's right. You know, I can override. Yeah. Well, you know, I try to override dissent where I can, but no, I will respect that. The motion passes 4-1 with Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and the Vice Chair, and myself in favor, and Commissioner Walther in dissent. And I just want to just note that Mr. Reynolds, this is his first time presenting at the table and also working on this AO. I just want to congratulate you on your fine performance and all of your efforts in putting together this advisory opinion. So thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Boos. That concludes our agenda. Are there any matters dealing with management or administration that need to be dealt with this time, Mr. Staff Director?
Mr. Chairman, there are none.
All right. Seeing that there's nothing else on the agenda, the meeting is adjourned.